standing. I thought that it was a blessing to me. I hope to you. I'll take a moment to see if we have any testimonies. I don't know if we do or not, but we want to recognize any testimonies tonight. If you have a word you want to share with us tonight, we're glad to do that. And we'll give you an opportunity. Anyone at all have a word of testimony they'd like to share with us tonight? Yes, Daniel. By the way, this is your anniversary. Go ahead. Well, you were going to. I apologize. Go ahead. Give him a hand for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I've been married 50 long, more years longer than you, and my wife also thinks it's by the grace of God that it's been that way. All right, anyone else? Good testimony. Yes.
And I've been witnessing so many godly families here, and it has impressed on my life and what the family is supposed to be. And I'm encouraged. I'm so thankful for how God has helped me. In my this is my third fall here at Ambassador, and I'm so thrilled in the change He has done in my life. And when people come into my work, I work at a hotel, and I see people from all around the world. We have a lot of companies coming to Cleveland County, a lot of German companies, and a lot some from France and some from Germany and Switzerland. Every time that I get into a conversation with these people, I see the need, and I see the disease of sin. I see a lot of married couples come by, and I just get a glimpse of how Christ is the essential and vital piece and should be in the center of a marriage. And I'm just praising the Lord for what He's doing in my life and what He will do. Thank God.
Amen. Amen. Good. Adam? Anyone else? Right here. Does she want to give a testimony? Got her hand up. She's cold. You think your daddy would help you with that problem, right? All right.
The Lord has been impressing upon me the importance of discipleship and being well grounded. And I just want to praise the Lord that I have the opportunity to serve the Lord in King's Kids. It's extremely important that our children learn the Bible and grow up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. And it has just been such a blessing to teach your kids. I think I probably have more fun down there than any of the children. But just through conversations at work where some of my friends believe different things, and I'm like, where did you get that? Or through my son that is taking care of an elderly neighbor who is confused and also influenced by Jehovah's Witnesses, that I really see the importance of doctrine. Doctrine, they say doctrine divides. I say doctrine is what we unify around. And I've just been thoroughly impressed with the need for being well grounded in the Word of God. And I thank the Lord I can serve Him in King's Kids.
All right, John. Back here, John. John's family provided a wonderful meal for us college kids today.
Let's go. I'm thankful for each one that serves, and especially like that fireball activity. I had the opportunity, I was afforded the opportunity by God to answer a call at the police department, and it was a runaway from a group home. And we were sitting there talking. I was like, I really recognize you. I said, I don't know where you're from. I said, but I recognize you for some reason. He's like, yeah, whatever. The police always tell me that. And I was like, no, I think I really do recognize you. We got talking. We had about 2 hours together. And it finally came out that he was from Shelby, and then we figured out Maranatha Baptist Church was the place that I had seen him before. And the importance of each role that each one of us play, whether or not we're the pastor, we're the assistant pastor, the deacon, or whatever our position is, it makes an impact in people's lives. He said that one of the things that stuck out to him was not that it was great preaching or that it was bad preaching or anything like that, but he remembers a parent out there, and they were laughing with their kids. He said, "My parents have laughed at me, but they never laughed with me." People are watching us.
Appreciate that, John. By the way, you ever lock your keys in the car or something like that, John would be glad to shoot the windows out for you so you can get into the car. All right? All right. Yeah. Let's take our Bibles and let us turn to the book of Genesis. As we look, last time, as we've been dealing with Joseph for several weeks, last time we looked there at the sins of the past of these boys, the brothers of Joseph, and we looked at that. And today we want to see here not only the sins of the past, but the sovereign of the present. I'm going to have these available if you'd like to have one of them at the end of the service. You can just come up and get one of them. It's a study I did on Joseph is a wonderful, wonderful picture of Christ. A matter of fact, on this list, I have 22 similarities between Joseph and Jesus Christ. And you might want to do that because when I think about the sovereign of the present, Joseph becomes a sovereign ruler, and our Lord Jesus Christ wishes to be sovereign. And so you can pick those up. But let me just give you a couple, about six really quickly tonight. Just similarities between Christ and Joseph. For example, both were beloved sons of their father. Joseph, as you know, was a beloved son of his father, and our Lord Jesus Christ was the beloved son of our Heavenly Father. Both were hated by their brother. Joseph's brother hated him with a passion, and the Jewish people hate the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of them began their public ministry at 30 years of age. Very interesting. Joseph is 30 years old when he becomes ruler in Egypt as he handles the second in command, taking care of all the food for the people. And our Lord Jesus Christ began his public ministry when he was 30. Both were shepherds. Very interesting. Our Lord was called the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. And we know Joseph also was a shepherd. Both of them were tempted to sin. But hallelujah, they did not. Joseph, of course, was tempted with Potiphar's wife, and our Lord Jesus Christ for 40 days and 40 nights as he was in the wilderness was tempted to sin. And praise the Lord, he was not able to sin, and he proved that. The one had two names. Joseph had two names. His name Joseph, you remember that Pharaoh gave him a different name. Joseph had two names. Jesus had two natures. A human nature and a divine nature. Both were condemned with two transgressors. Here was, Joseph was in prison, you had the butler and the baker. They were condemned with those. Our Lord, as he hung on the cross, there was two, one on each side of him. However, one was given death sentence, the other lived. The baker died and the butler was set free. And, of course, as Jesus hung on the cross, those two thieves, the one on the right side died without Christ, and the other one lived forever with the Lord. Both gave the bread of life to those who came to him. When Joseph became the one who supplied the food, everyone who needed substance, food, the bread of life, the red blood of substance, Joseph gave it to them, and our Lord is the bread of life. And so those are just about five or six, seven or eight of the similarities between Joseph and I have them. If you want to pick one of them up, I have about 50 copies here. He's a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I have 22 similarities there. But think with me for a moment, and we're going to kind of backtrack. We've been in chapter 42, but we're going to backtrack to chapter 41 for a moment because I not only see the pictures of Christ, and every time you see Joseph from this point on, I want you to notice he is a just a wonderful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice the power of Christ, not only the picture of Christ as seen in Joseph, but think with me for a few moments the power of Christ as seen in Joseph. As Joseph here, if you go to chapter 41 back there for a moment, in those first seven verses, you'll find here that Pharaoh has a dream. And you could just read those first seven verses at your own leisure. Read it now or whenever. But here is Joseph's life who is interrupted. Pharaoh's life who is interrupted. Everything seems to be going just right for him and all sides. Everything is I thought about our own life. You know, our life is daily. Somebody said the problem with life is it's so daily. And our life is filled with difficulties. As I look around, I see all kinds. I suppose if we ask everyone here tonight who's had some difficulty in the last 3 or 4 months, I think everybody's going to stand up. Because life is not only daily, but life is full of difficulties. But our Lord wants to touch our lives. He wants to touch, even as Pharaoh is touched. A picture of us. Our Lord like to touch our lives. I was thinking there, it's a touch of the divine. Not only do we have a touch of the daily life and the touch of the difficulties, but in all these, God wants to touch our lives. He wants to do something. I think that is what is meant over here. And if you turn just a moment over there to Proverbs chapter 29. And when I go to chapter 29 of Proverbs, I have highlighted a verse here that oftentimes that I think is taken out of context. And that is verse 18. Often this is used as a missionary call. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And that's okay to do that. But that's really not the meaning of that statement. In the structure in the Hebrew, the idea of that verse is that where there's no vision within ourselves, if there's not a touch of the divine, if God does not do something within our own lives, our lives seem to be wasted. They're just wasted life. And I hope that you have a touch of God in you. I hope that I have more of a touch of God in my life. Let's think with me for a moment. I often think, what do people do without the Lord? I mean, not just that He provides things for it, but there is that He breaks up the monotony of life by coming into our life and speaking and stirring our hearts. And I think of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, where Moses had seen Him who is invisible. That's a touch. Even as Pharaoh is touched, he's symbolic of us. Thank God we are touched by seeing He who is invisible. Isn't that an oxymoron? How can you see Him who is invisible when He touches our lives? He breaks up the monotony. Somebody was commenting not too long ago to me, said, man, you have a little trip here every Saturday. And said, somebody asked me at Northside, what do you do with that time? I said, that's one of the most exciting times. Because that's my time with God. It's so special. I just pray and I go over Scripture and I get a little Baptist. Thank God for the touch of the divine. Even when you're driving down a monotonous road every weekend to be here, thank you for the opportunity, but He's there. I get a divine touch of God at that time. Not just at that time. Don't take that out of context. But I'm thankful for that. And so He wants to touch our lives as who He is, a picture through Joseph. Secondly, He wants to trouble our lives. He wants to trouble our spirits. He wants to trouble our spirit. Notice that He not only wants to touch our lives, but He wants to trouble our spirit. Notice there in verse 8. After Pharaoh gets these first seven verses and he his life has just been monotonous? It's been probably boring. His life is just the daily routine of this and that. I don't care what position you have, after a while it can get that way. But God came into his life. God comes into my life and I hope your life. And then verse 8 is so vital. He said, and it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. I underline that word here because I think there's a tremendous application here for us. I think our spirit needs to be troubled. Our spirit is never content if it be out of place. Now, what do I mean by that? 1 Thessalonians 5:23, you're familiar with it. That you give your what? Whole what? Spirit, soul, and body. You notice in that order there that the spirit always needs to be at the top. The spirit, now get this. Think with me for a moment, because how easy it is to say body, soul, and spirit. Isn't that just the normal way we say it? Now, the body is ruled by the physical. I was getting up out of a chair the other day, and somebody said, man, you're having difficulty getting up. I said, yeah, but when I'm up, I'm okay. It's just getting up. But I used to remember the day Brother Childs, he just jumped up. It's been a long time ago. A body is ruled by the physical, and the soul is ruled by the flesh. The soul is where your sin nature is located, but the spirit is ruled by faith. And when you have the order of body, soul, and spirit, one's life is strictly ruled by the physical. And then if you have not body, soul, and spirit, say you have soul, body, and spirit. Say the soul is at the top. Well, then your life is ruled by feelings. I feel this. I have a habit when I used to do counseling. I have a notepad, and people would come in and I don't know how many, and I'd tell them at the end of the session how many times they use the word, I feel. I feel this, I feel that, I feel that. And right away, I know that the spirit is still not at the top. It is the soul. Because that's where is the place of our feelings. How often we operate on our feelings as well as on the physical. The proper order of spirit, soul, and body, because here we are ruled by faith. And our spirit needs to be troubled and cannot stand to be at the bottom of the list. Can't stand to be soul, body, and spirit. Can't stand to be body, soul, and spirit. It must be spirit, soul, and body. And it is never content until that's the order of our life. He wants to touch our lives, and he wants to trouble our spirit. I have found in my own life, whenever this human spirit is in control of my life, and the Holy Spirit then works through my human spirit, amen, the spirit itself, what? Bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When that order's there is such a calmness in the midst of whatever's going on. And I enjoy the calmness in my spirit when I am, the trouble is no longer there. And as I was the other day going through some things in my own life, and all of a sudden as I began to be sure that I was had the touch of God in my life, all of a sudden there's such a calmness. And I just said, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I can have the proper order no matter what happens in my life, as long as the Spirit is in charge of the Holy Spirit, in charge of the human spirit, it's in the proper order. Jesus Christ wants to touch our lives, and he wants to trouble our spirit until there's a calmness because we have the right order. I get calls all the time of people who call me and want me to pray, and when they have me pray, and I always like to pray with them over the phone, and of course when I'm driving I pray. Now I don't close my eyes when I'm driving, keep that in mind, but I just want that calmness to come in their life, that God is in charge. He not only wants to touch our lives and to trouble our spirit, but as Joseph illustrates a picture of Christ, he wants to be turned loose in our lives. Here is Pharaoh having a dream. And he has a touch of the divine, because this dream is a revelation from God, and God is illumination in his life, and something great's going to happen. And he is troubled in his spirit. The only person who solved that problem is who? In this case, Joseph, who is a picture of who? Jesus Christ. But where's Joseph? Joseph is in prison. And he wants to be turned loose in our lives. And you look at this here in verses 12 through 14. There was a, look at verse 12. There was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dream. Now the butler is coming clean on this. Keep in mind, for over two full long years, Joseph has been in prison, and the butler promised that he would go and get him out of there. He said, don't forget me. You know, our problem is we forget Jesus. We go through life so many times that we just push him aside. Verse 13, and it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was me, he restored to my office, and there him he hanged. The Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, out of the prison. I hope hastily, you let Jesus Christ loose in your life. Just say, Lord, just take over. You know, it is only pride that keeps us from turning our lives over to him, because we think we can do it better. We just got the idea somehow we can solve this problem ourselves. We turn him loose in our life. You know, most of us are afraid to turn Jesus Christ loose in our life because we're afraid he's going to make so many changes that we don't think we're going to like. But I've discovered something. Every time I turn him loose in my life, there is a change. But it's always for the best. And I enjoy the change. And I hope you can say the same thing tonight. Just turn him loose. Say, Lord, do whatever you want with my life. You know, a lot of people do not tithe or give. They're afraid to turn the Lord loose in their life and just trust him to tithe. Just give the Lord what's rightly. Boy, how am I going to make it? Somebody said, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe if you just turn him loose. He'll just take care of it all. I mean, it just comes out of nowhere when God just takes care of the need. Amen? Just turn him loose. You got some fears and some stresses tonight? Just turn him loose. He'll move. Just turn him loose. He wants not only to touch our lives and trouble our spirits and to turn loose in our lives, but he wants to take over our lives. Just take over. I think that's what you have here when you go to jump way ahead here to verse 38. And I see three things in verse 38 down to verse 42, down to 43. Very interesting. Notice, first of all, we find here, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, Joseph interprets the dream. And the dream is going to be about 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And I had to underline this verse in verse 38, because here is a picture of our Lord. If you'll just turn him loose, let him take over. I want you to notice he has the wisdom to do what needs to be done. Look there at verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servant, can we find such as one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Boy, can that not be said of our Lord Jesus Christ? He came 2,000 years ago, but there was no one ever like him. In whom the Spirit of God is, our Lord has the wisdom to do what needs to be done in our lives. You know, I hope this comes out right, but if it doesn't come out right, this is life. You know, we got too many of God's people that are pushing pills and going to psychiatrists and everything else to try to get their lives straightened around. Just let him take over. I have a wonderful doctor in our church, and he was telling me not too long ago, I think you get on some medication and this, and I said, I'm just fine with my aspirin. Anyway, I was talking to him, and I said, you know, I'm tired of visiting the hospitals in my 45 years in the ministry where people were there because they took the wrong medicine. Now, it's okay to take medicine, but man, I'm going to tell you what, we are living in a pill-pushing age. But I think a lot of it is just not needed. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I think Jesus Christ is. Then we got those who are going to psychiatrists and psychologists. Can I say this to you? Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Father are the three greatest psychiatrists you could ever find. And He can straighten our minds out. I really believe that. I believe it with all my heart. Today, the Bible still has the answers to all of our problems. All of our problems. Notice down here in verse 42. I don't want you to go home and get rid of all your prescriptions if you need, if you're having heart problems and all this kind of thing. You know, you understand what I'm saying. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean? But look at verse 42. And so after they discovered this man, we find a second thing about him. As he takes over. Now, Joseph is ready to take over. He can take over because of the wisdom which he has, and he'll be in control of the wealth that is needed. There was a famine in the land. Look here in verse 42. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and he put it upon Joseph's hand. Joseph now is the second person in charge, and he is so wealthy all of a sudden. Picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know what famine you may have in your life, but I want you to know that Jesus Christ has what it can take to remove the famine. I don't know what it is. You may have fear. Fill in the blanks. I'm glad our Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, has all the wealth that is needed to solve all the problems that we have. All that is there that is needed. And we all have famines, don't we, in our lives? Sometimes they're physical. Sometimes they're emotional. Sometimes they're... fill in the blank. I'm glad that He can just remove it all. Then I like this. He not only, we see the wisdom to do what is needed, the Spirit of God never is in him like no one else. The wealth that now Joseph has, and he can just meet the needs of everyone that come to him, so can Jesus Christ. And I say thirdly, I want you to notice he's to be worshipped. Look here as well. And look here in verse 43. And Joseph, now Pharaoh, he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him. Would you underline those three words? Bow the knee. He needs to be worshipped. Bow the knee to Jesus Christ. God put these in here as a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bow the knee to Him. He is to be worshipped. He is to be honored. And so we recognize here that those pictures and that power, and then as we just close tonight, I want you to notice the purpose of Christ as seen in Joseph. Not only the picture of Christ is seen in Joseph, the power of Christ is seen in Joseph, that power to touch our lives, that power to trouble our spirit, all those things that I just dealt with, but the purpose of Christ. You know what His purpose is? Are you ready for this? Just simple. It changes. Just changes. You know what our problem is? We think everybody else needs to be changed but us. If everybody else would just be changed, if that guy would just go look in the mirror, you're the guy and I'm the guy and you're the gal, it needs to be changed. I was thinking, we're going to see this next time, we're not going to get into that tonight, but just to illustrate it, I want you now to jump over chapter 42, because here that purpose is seen, first of all, and it will be seen later in the brothers, but it is seen here in Dad. When the boys who we looked at last time went to Pharaoh for food, and they come back and they had to face Dad. You know, I thought of Jacob. Now, if there's ever a guy who still needs to be changed, it's Jacob. After all, he's the patriarch. He is supposed to be the leader, and I'll tell you something, he's just not leading very good. And I wonder at times in my life if some things that God needs to change. Have you ever said, Lord, just change me? Just change me. Are we afraid to do that? Just change me. I want you to notice some reasons why he needed to be changed and why you and I need to be changed as I begin here at verse 36. As the brothers came back and told the story of how Simeon was left behind and what all they had gone through. And then look at verse 36. I want you to notice some things here. I want you to notice, first of all, human reaction. When things are not going right in our life, I want you to notice, in Jacob, their father said unto him, me have you bereaved of my children. Human reaction. I'm bereaved. I'm down. Me, somebody I've noticed, he says, and me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not and Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Isn't that interesting? He's blaming the human reactions. But when things go wrong in our life, is to find a scapegoat. He turns to his sons as they come back and he says, it's your fault. Isn't it interesting we have a hard time taking credit for our own failures? And God wants to change us right there. Take responsibility for our own failures. You know, if there's failure in the church, just go look in the mirror. You don't have to say, well, this happened, and all that. Just don't do that. Notice I not only see this human reaction, but I notice secondly these here in these verse, and notice, if you will, the hurtful words. Look at verse 30. Let's look at verse 36 again. I didn't complete it. Jacob, their father, said unto him, me have you said unto them, me have read to my children. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. I guess he did not know about Romans 8:28, did he? All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. How many things? All things. Obviously, he didn't have Romans back in that day, but he had the God who wrote Romans. Human reaction, all things are against me. Isn't that our reaction when things go wrong in our life, being bombarded with problems? But I not only see human reaction, I see hurtful words. And we need to change in that area. I talked about the tongue this morning, but I just see it here. Look here, and you know, I got meditating on this passage of Scripture, but it just sort of brought tears to my eyes. I don't know if you've ever had a father that didn't care for you. I had one. And he left us when I was 2 years of age and just didn't care if we had food to eat or not. And I see that a little bit in Jacob. His whole life has been wrapped up in Benjamin after Joseph, he thinks, is dead. He even forgets that he's got 10 other children. Wow. Look there. And Reuben spake unto his father, verse 37, and saying, slay my two sons if I bring him not to thee. We got to go back, Dad, because we're out of food. Deliver him to my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. He said, my son shall not go down with you. As though he didn't care for Reuben whatsoever. How would it feel? I think I know what it feels like to have a father reject you. Reuben must have felt extremely hurt. Hurtful words. You heard what I said. Stick and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's not true. When he said that to him, I'm sure Reuben is just, I just can't get through the day. We all hate rejection. Human reactions, hurtful words, hasty decisions. Third thing, he needed to change them. Look what he says here. Verse 38 again, he said, my son shall not go down. These are words he's going to eat. You ever make a decision, a hasty decision, and wish you never made that. Think your decisions through. The purpose of God is that we will not make hasty decisions. The purpose of God, we will not say hurtful words. The purpose of God is to get that we won't have human reactions. He said, "My son will not go down." Notice these words, how hurtful again they are. My son, what about Reuben? What about Judah? What about all the other brothers? Aren't they your sons? Wow. And we often, human reactions, hurtful words, hasty decisions, and finally we see horizontal thinking. Look at chapter 43 as I close this evening, in verse 1 through verse 6, and then I close. And so the famine was sore in the land. I mean, the 7 years are now up for plenty, and the 7 years of the famine is there. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought up out of Egypt, their father said unto them, "Go again to buy a little food." And Judah spake unto him, saying, "This man, the man did solemnly protest to us, saying, 'You shall not see my face except your brother be with you,'" and that's Benjamin. "If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, 'You shall not see my face except your brother be with you.' And Israel," that's Jacob, "said, 'Wherefore dealt you ill with me, as to tell this man whether you have a brother?'" You know what he's simply saying? Why didn't you just lie? Why don't you tell him the truth? Now that's horizontal. You know, I don't know where you are in all this, but I really cannot respect a president who lies and covers it up with another lie and then another lie and says, "I'm sorry," but nobody figures out what he's sorry for. Remember the story of Kaleo that I gave about the ants? Sound like our president. Just one after another. We're not careful. We follow the same pattern. Why do you just lie? Why did you tell them that at all? Just when he asked about, "Do you have a..." Just lie! Isn't that horizontal thinking? The purpose of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of Joseph, is to change us so that we won't have human reactions. Everything is against me. Say hurtful words. Makes hasty decisions. Father, tonight,